Chapter 18. Consolidation. 3 more nights passed, as every day had passed before them. The docks were lost at dawn on the 6th day after the submersible assault. The defeat was unusual enough to bring the Imperial commanders together again. Around the battle-damaged hull of the Grey Warrior, Saren gathered the leaders. In the dawn gloom, most of the guard colonels were dead on their feet with fatigue, several showing telltale signs of combat narcotics to keep them going. A twitch here, a shiver there. Overtaxed minds and muscles could only be kept active for so long, even with stimulants. Saren wouldn't reprimand them for this. In times of need, men did as they must in order to hold the line.
"We've lost the docks," he said,
and his voice was as tired and scratchy as he felt. This was not news to any of the gathered officers. As the colonel outlined the details of what little remained of the dock districts, a chimera rumbled up to park in the Grey Warrior's shadow. The crew ramp slammed down and 2 people disembarked. The first was Syria Tyro, her uniform still clean but clearly ruffled from constant wear. The second was dressed in a pilot's grey flight suit.
"I found him,"
Tyro said, leading the pilot to the gathered captains.
"Captain Helios reporting."
The pilot saluted Saren.
"Commander Jensen died 2 nights ago, sir."
Third in line after Jensen and Barasath. They were lucky to have any flyers left.
"A pleasure, Captain."
"As you say, sir."
Saren nodded, returning the Aquila salute with his wounded arm still aching like a jungle wildfire. A morning breeze, chilling and unwelcome, gusted across the stretch of the Hell's Highway. The Baneblade's hull blocked most of the wind, but not enough as far as Saren was concerned. Throne, he was tired of aching all over.
"Remaining forces?"
3 airstrips, though it looks like the Gamma Road will fall today. It's been besieged for days now. At last count, we had 26 lightnings remaining. Only 7 thunderbolts. Gamma Road is already being evacuated and the fighters are landing on the Vansia Chi Avenue.
Saren made a grumbling noise. He still lamented the loss of Barasath and the majority of his air power, even after all this time.
"Intentions?"
"Currently no change from Jensen's orders. Provide air support for embattled Titan forces and armor battalions. The enemy are still showing next to no offensive capacity in the air. It's reasonable to suggest that this far in, they've simply got nothing left."
"Was that a barb, Captain?"
Helios saluted again.
"By no means, sir."
Saren smiled, the indulgent grin ruined by weariness.
"If it was, it's forgiven.
Barasath was right, and he sold his life at great cost to give us an edge in the air. The beasts have thrown up nothing but a handful of scrap fighters since the siege began. And I've already noted on the campaign record, as well as Barasath's personal file, that he made the right call."
"Yes, sir."
"I'm sorry to hear about Jensen. She was an asset we'll greatly miss. Solid, reliable, steady."
And she had been. Commander Carolyn Jensen, for better or worse, had been a by-the-book flyer, dependable and constant, if rather uninspired. Under her, the city's air forces had maintained a campaign of reliable defensive support for over a month. The crone of Invigilata herself had commended Jensen's endeavours in recent weeks.
"Sir,"
Helios began.
"Here it comes," Saren thought.
"I had hoped to discuss the possibility of a more aggressive tactical pattern."
"Yes, yes, of course you had hoped to discuss that."
"In good time. For now, the docks."
Saren nodded back to the gathered officers. Syria Tyro and Captain Helios joined them, standing next to one another. Major Riken scowled at the pilot, and Saren resisted the urge to roll his eyes.
"Bloody throne, Riken. Now is hardly the time for schoolyard jealousy."
"We did not lose the docks,"
one of the Astartes argued, his vox voice laden with resonant calm. Colonel Saren had not met Sergeant Vareth of the Salamanders before this morning. He knew from Vox traffic that the green armored warriors had deployed close to the remaining civilian shelters, and their valor was directly responsible for a great many lives spared. But it seemed his tactical outlook varied wildly from the colonel's.
I'm not sure I understand, sir, Saren offered.
Vareth's armor was dented and scratched, but remained pristine in comparison to the wreckage worn by the reclusiarch at his side. A golden-eyed helm glared down at the human officers.
I am merely stating, Colonel Saren, that we did not lose the docks. The enemy is beaten. The seaborne invasion was denied, for the city still stands. The invaders lie dead at the docks.
This was and wasn't true from the way Saren looked at it. The disparity was the reason the colonel had called this gathering.
Allow me to amend my appraisal. The docks are gone. As an industrial factor in Armageddon's collective output, Hell's Reach no longer exists. We're receiving reports now of 91% harm to the city's refinery infrastructure, taking into account the loss of the offshore oil platforms.
The soldiers shared uncomfortable glances. The Imperium demanded heavy tithes of materiel from Armageddon. If the other hive cities suffered as Hell's Reach had, the grade of Exactus Extremis would be lowered significantly. Certainly to Seleucio Tertius, and perhaps to Aptus Non. If Armageddon provided nothing, it would be offered little in return. The Imperium would turn away. Without the support and finances to recover after the war, the world might never recover.
However, all is not dark. As the noble Sergeant Vareth makes clear, thanks to the tenacity of the dock worker population, our own stormtroopers, and our Astartes allies, the Xenos were repelled.
At insane cost, he decided not to add. Tens of thousands dead in 4 days. The city's industry reduced to a worthless husk.
We have received further word from the Crone of Invigilata, the colonel continued.
What he had to say next almost caught in his throat.
The most honorable Legio Invigilata has been petitioned by outside forces to leave the city.
She will stay.
The reclusiarch's tone was cold, even through his helm's vox speakers.
She swore to fight.
As I understand it, the Imperial advances along the length of the Hemlock River are grinding to a halt. The settlements there, protected by the salamanders and regiments of the Cadian Shock, are now considered a higher priority than the city.
Saren let the words resonate for a few moments.
This is from the old man himself. It came over the vox an hour ago.
Grimaldus snarled as he spoke.
I do not care. Our mandate is to defend Hell's Reach.
Our mandate, yes. But Princeps Zaha's mandate was to deploy where she desired. Most of the Legio Invigilata is already stationed along the Hemlock and across the wastelands, alongside elements from Ignatum and Metallica.
She will not leave, Grimaldus snorted.
She is here until the end.
Saren felt his ire rising at the way the reclusiarch dismissed his concerns with such blasé finality. On another day, another morning, after any other week of fighting, he would have reined in his emotions better. As it was, he sighed and closed his gritty eyes.
Oh, enough, please, reclusiarch. Storm Herald is embattled 7 kilometers down the Hell's Highway with an enemy scrap titan battalion in the Rosteric Ironworks. She has given no further word of her decision.
Grimaldus crossed his arms over his ruined heraldry.
Tartarus Hive and the battles along the shores of the Hemlock will be won and lost without us. This war has taken everything from the city, and we are reduced to fighting like desert jackals over Hell's Reach's bones. The only question that matters to us is, what can we still save?
Riken removed his rebreather and took a deep breath.
It may be time to consider the last fallback point.
Saren nodded.
That's why we're here. We stand in the heart of a dying city, and the time has come to decide where we will make our final stand. What of the, weapon, Reclusiak?
A fool's hope. The master of the forge is a single soul. Without Mechanica's support, Jurizion has been able to do nothing more than activate Oberon's core systems. He can certainly not crew it alone. As of 4 nights ago, the Ordinatus has locomotion, and on his own, the Forge Master is able to fire the Oberon cannon once every 22 minutes. But that is all. It cannot be defended by a lone pilot. It is worthless in battle. The Colonel's ire rose again.
You waited 4 days to tell me of this? That the Ordinatus has power once more?
I have not waited. I filed coded confirmation across the command network the same night I learned Oberon was operational. Yet, as I said, it is almost worthless to us.
Is your Forge Master bringing the weapon to the city?
Of course.
Has the Mechanicus been informed we are defiling their weapon and dragging it into a war zone, almost certain to lose it in its first engagement against the enemy?
Of course not. Are you insane, human? The best weapons are those that remain secret until wielded. This truth would force Invigilata to act against us, or to leave the city.
You are not the commander of this city. You surrendered that honor to me. This is information I have been eagerly awaiting, only to find it denied to me because of broken vox traffic.
The silver skull breathed out a mechanical growl.
I was knee-deep in alien dead at the docks, Saren, selling the lives of my brothers to ensure the people of your homeworld live to see another sunrise. You are tired. I understand the limitations of the human form, and you have my sympathies for them. But remember to whom you are speaking.
Saren bit back his disappointment. It wasn't supposed to be like this, yet with the Astartes it always was. Compliant and valuable one moment, superior and distant the next, shaped as much by their fierce independence as they were by their loyalty to the Imperium. It felt petty. That was the only word that encapsulated it in the Colonel's mind. An awkward divide between humans fighting for their home and once humans fighting for intangible ideals and heroic codes of conduct.
Well, Saren began,
but knew he had nowhere to go with the words.
I am not to blame for your malfunctioning vox. It is a plague upon the city's defense, and a burden we must bear. I was not about to abandon the docks to deliver the news into your ears like some enslaved courier, nor would I entrust such a development to any other soul. If the Mechanicus learns of this, we lose Invigilata.
None of us had much hope pinned on the Ordinatus,
Riken said, seeking to diffuse the tension.
It was the longest of long shots, any way you slice it.
Have you tried the Mechanicus forces again?
Syria Tyro asked. Her tone didn't hide the fact she still pinned a great deal of hope on the weapon, despite what Riken had just said.
Of course.
The Reclusiarch gestured west along the Hell's Highway, in the direction of Storm Herald, fighting out of sight in the ironworks.
Zaha refused, as she refused before. It is blasphemy to do what we have done.
Still no word from Mechanicus royalty, Saren put in. Wherever this arch-priest of theirs is, he's not responding to any of our astropathic pleas.
He spat onto the broken roadway beneath his feet. Indeed, whoever this lord of the Centurio Ordinatus was, his arrival in the Armageddon system would be far too late to make a difference to Hell's Reach.
At least the weapon may yet be put to use in the defense of other cities.
The Colonel forced a chuckle.
We stand on the very edge now. The fallback plan is, however, not something I wish to consider any more. There are few enough surviving Imperial forces left in the city. Let us not gather together for the last days of our lives and offer an easy target.
So, it's over? One of the captains said.
No, Grimaldus answered. But we must keep the enemy locked in the city as long as we can. Each day we survive increases the chances of reinforcement from the ash wastes.
Each day we hold out costs the enemy more blood and keeps them here in Hell's Reach, where they cannot add their axes to the beasts besieging the other cities.
Riken scratched at his collar, soothing an itching scar he'd earned the week before.
Sir,
he said to Saren.
Major.
Riken let his expression of disbelief do the talking. Saren rubbed grit from his eyes with dirty fingertips as he answered.
I have studied the hololithic projections in the wake of the Dock Siege. I have managed, blessings upon the Emperor, to actually maintain a conversation over the Vox with Commissar Yarrick that lasted for more than 10 seconds, and offered more productivity than merely listening to the crackle of static for once. We are following a pattern being used in several of the other Hive cities. The Steel Legion will disperse throughout the city, centering at population centers that remain untouched.
What about the highway?
The enemy already claims most of it, Captain Helios. Let them have the rest.
As of this morning, we are no longer fighting to preserve the city. We are fighting to save every life that can be saved. The city is dead, but over half of its people are not.
The captain scowled, rendering his handsome face immediately unattractive. Unreliable friends borrowed a great deal of money with expressions like that.
None of our remaining airstrips are anywhere near civilian population centres. Forgive me for pointing it out, Colonel, but that was the very point of setting them up where we did. To hide them.
You did well. And I'm certain you will hold off the enemy for an admirable space of time before you are overrun. Just like the rest of us.
We need to be defended.
No. You would like to be defended. You do not wish to die. None of us do, Captain. But I command the Steel Legion, and the Steel Legion marches in defense of the Hive's people now. I cannot spare regiments of men just to continue covering the air squadron's inexorable dance across the city.
The plain truth is that there are no longer enough of you to be worth defending.
Hide when you must, and fight when you can. If Invigilata stands with us, fly in support of them. If Invigilata leaves, then fly in support of the 121st Armored Division, who will be based at the Kolav Residentia District, defending the entrances to the subterranean bunkers. Those are your orders.
The captain's salute was reluctant.
Understood, sir.
The coming weeks will go into Imperial records as the 100 Bastions of Light. We no longer have the forces required to defend large swathes of territory. So, we will fall back to the cores, the most vital points, and die before we ever give another meter of ground. The Jaeger district, with its storm shelters, the temple of the Emperor Ascendant, at the heart of the ecclesiarchal sector, the Izal spaceport in the dis-industrial sector, the Purgatory refinery that blessedly still stands on the docks. A list of primary and secondary defense points is being circulated over the Vox network and via hundreds of courier teams throughout the city.
The colonel turned to the hulking figures of the Astartes.
Sergeant Fareth, the people of Hell's Reach and Armageddon offer their thanks to you and your brothers for the assistance. You'll quit the city today?
The Lord of the Fireborn calls.
Quite so, quite so. I offer my personal thanks. Without your arrival, many more would have lost their lives.
Vareth made the sign of the Aquila, his green gauntlets forming the familiar shape to mirror the bronze eagle on his chest.
You are fighting with ferocity unmatched, Steel Legionnaire. The Emperor sees all and knows all. He sees your sacrifices and your courage in this war, and you are earning your place in the Imperium's legends. It was an honor to fight at your side on the streets of your city.
Saren glanced between the two Astartes, the warrior and the knight. He could not doubt the valor of the Templars in past weeks, but throne, if only he'd had the Salamanders here. They were everything the Templars were not. Communicative, supportive, reliable. He found himself offering his hand. A moment's tension followed the gesture, as the towering warrior remained unmoving. Then, with care, the salamander held the colonel's small human hand in a shake. The joints of the sergeant's power armor hummed with the minor movement.
The honor was ours, Vareth. Hunt well in the wastelands, and give my thanks to your lord.
The reclusiarch watched this in silence. No one knew what expression was masked by his relic helm.
Once the discussion is done, I walk from the gathered humans. Vareth remains with me, shadowing my movements. Away from the pitted and cracked hull of Saren's Baneblade, I slow in my stride to allow him to catch up. Does Vareth not have his own orders to obey? Does the Hemlock not call? Curious that he chooses to remain. What do you want, Salamander? As we walk along the Hell's Highway, I cannot help but stare at the city below. The platformed road rises above the habitation blocks here, once allowing traffic to rattle through the heart of the city between the spires of its tall residential towers. Now it remains aloft, a rock-crete wave riding above urban devastation. The buildings here are flattened, reduced to rubble by the enemy's scrap titans and shelling from our own forces. Across the city, the highway has come down in several places. Fortunate that it has not done so here as well.
To speak, if you are willing, reclusiarch.
I would be honored, I tell him. But this is a lie. We have spent a week fighting together side by side, and although his presence was invaluable, his warriors are not knights. Too often they fell back to guard civilian shelters rather than press the attack and prevent the enemy from escaping. Too often they withstood repeated assaults rather than strike first and eliminate any need of further retaliation. Priamus loathes them, but I do not. Their ways are not our ways. It is not cowardice that drives them to these tactics, but rather tradition. Yet still their valor is as alien to me as the disgusting savagery of the orcs. It is difficult to hold my tongue. I wish him to leave before honesty stains the deeds we have achieved together, and before truth spoken too brutally threatens the alliance between our respective chapters.
My brothers and I came to this city without the illuminating guidance of our chaplain. We would offer reverent thanks if you would lead us in prayer before we quit the city and rejoin our chapter by the shores of the Hemlock.
I know little of your chapter's cult and creed, Salamander.
We know this, reclusiarch. Still, we would offer sincere thanks.
It is a magnificent and bold gesture, and I know it honors me far more than it would honor them if I agreed. To lead brothers from another chapter in prayer is beyond merely rare. It is almost unheard of. In my life, I can recall only one such instance, and that was with our Jean brothers and fellow sons of Dorm, the Crimson Fists, when the Declartes system burned. Think of the battle last night, I tell him. Think of the rooftop battle in the Nurgle district. There was one moment in the chaos that still preys upon my mind. It casts a shadow over us now, like an enemy's spear threatening to fall. He hesitates. This is clearly not the way he thought his request would be answered.
What aspect of the battle troubles you, reclusiarch?
A fine question.
The beast falls from my hands, its skull broken, to die at my feet. I hear the burning hiss of Priamus's blade tearing through alien flesh. I hear the strained snarls of meat-clogged chainblades. I hear the yelling of panicked humans as they cower in the storm shelter, their fear reaching my senses through the armor-plated walls. Another creature snarls in my face, spitting thick saliva over my faceplate. It dies as Artarian's bolter kicks once from a few meters away, shearing its malformed head off in a burst of gore.
Focus!
He grunts over the vox. I return the favor a moment later, my maul pounding into a beast that sought to leap at him from behind. The battle is close.
down to pistols, blades, and the crashing beat of fists into faces. In the centre of the expansive plaza, the thickly armoured storm shelter endures siege from close to 200 of the enemy. Footing is treacherous. Our boots are stamping down on pools of cooling blood and the bodies of dead dock workers. The salamanders are... Curse them all. Priamus blocked a cut from the closest orc. The beast's chopping sword deflected with a shower of sparks from the brief blade contact. He killed it with the riposte, an ugly strike he felt no pride for, slipping past the creature's non-existent guard and ramming the blade's point into the beast's exposed neck. The brute's axe slammed with clanging force against the side of his helm. His vision receptors showed angry static for 2 seconds. Not deep enough. The swordsman yanked back with the blade, and on the second plunge, he hilted it in the orc's collarbone. The beast collapsed in a heap of dead limbs. Priamus resisted the urge to laugh. The next orc to leap at him came with 2 of its brothers. The first fell to Priamus's blade, lashing out to carve through its torso, the energized blade going through meat and bone like soft clay. The second and third would have had a fair chance at overpowering him, had they not been battered to the ground by a sweep of the Reclusiarch's maul.
"Where are the salamanders?"
he voxed, his breath coming in ragged gasps. "They're holding."
"They're what?"
Bastilan's fist vibrated with the crashing judder of his bolter. Streaks of alien blood painted his battered armour yet again. Recrimination spilled out over the vox. The salamanders weren't advancing with the Templars. The Templars were pushing ahead too far, too fast.
"Follow us, in the name of the throne!"
Bastilan added his voice to the vox chatter.
"Fall back!"
came the staid voice of Sergeant Vareth.
"Fall back to the eastern platform and be ready to engage the second wave."
"Advance! If we strike now, there will be no second wave. We're at the warlord's throat."
"Salamanders."
Vareth spoke calmly.
"Hold and be ready. Cut down any stragglers that seek to breach the shelter."
Bastilan kicked a hunched alien in the chest, breaking whatever passed for its rib structure. In the moment's respite, he ejected his spent bolt magazine and slammed a fresh one home. They were advancing, unsupported, away from the shelter, in pursuit of the fleeing orcs. Ahead, through the crowd of panicking beasts, Bastilan could see the armoured warlord of this wretched tribe, its staggering gaits made all the more pronounced by the ablative armour plating that seemed surgically bolted to its nerveless flesh. Bolts slashed after the retreating war leader, roaring from the muzzles of Templars fighting their way through a bestial and ferocious rearguard. Several shells detonated against the creature's armour, while others smacked into the backs and shoulders of fleeing orcs around their commander.
"He's getting away!"
Bastilan grunted. The words shamed him even to speak them.
"Fall back!"
came the Reclusiarch's growl.
"Sir!"
Bastilan began, coupled with Priamus's decidedly more annoyed,
"No!
Fall back. This is not worth dying over. We do not have the numbers to spill the warlord's blood now." Vareth, to his credit, nods.
"I see. You consider this a stain on your personal honor?" He does not see. "No, brother. I consider it a waste of time, ammunition, and life. 2 of your own squad were killed in the successive waves that followed. Brother Caedus and Brother Madoc from my own force were slain. If we had pursued in unity, we could have broken through to the enemy leader and taken his head. The rest of the beasts would have scattered, and the bulk could easily have been purged by kill teams in the aftermath."
"It is tactically unsound, Reclusiarch. Pursuit would have left the shelter undefended and vulnerable to regrouping waves attacking from other sectors. 3,000 lives were saved by our defiance last night."
"There were no attacks from other sectors."
"There may have been, had we pursued. And there was still no guarantee we would have overpowered the rearguard quickly enough to reach the warlord."
"We weathered 6 further assaults, wasted 7 hours, lost 4 warriors, and expended a hoard of ammunition that my knights can ill afford to throw away."
"Oh, that is one way of seeing the final cost. I see it more simply. We won."
"I am finished with this debate, Salamander."
Again, I recall the grinding cut of Nero's Medicae saw, and the puncturing retrieval of cutting tools extracting glistening gene seed organs from the chests of the slain.
It grieves me to hear you speak this way, Reclusiac.
Listen to him. So patient, so calm, so blind. Get out of my city.